Welcome to the Uncensored Week in Sports. Once again, I'm not starting at the right time, but this time I'm launching on my laptop, and the one advantage of that is that I'm going to be able to see people as they come into the room. The last couple weeks, I was on my other computer, and so when you came into the chat, I didn't notice you and blew you off. So if for some reason you find my show tonight, I'm going to see you, and we'll bring you on the air or chat with you as needed. So feel free to join in. What I've tried to do during this show each week is to try to comment on things that the mainstream media might have missed, perspectives that I think haven't been given yet. I know there's probably people out there that can do a show better than mine, but maybe I can do a good job of doing some bigger picture things, summing up trends and points of view that haven't really been noticed or commented on. So I guess there's a lot to talk about this week. I got the football action fresh in my mind from today. And I think one of the things that has really been bothering me is this whole, oh, well, so-and-so barely beat so-and-so, so they must not be very good. All the talk going into this game was, you know, Patriots going to spank the Jets. And I always thought the game was going to be close with the weather the way it was. And, you know, these analysts, they think they see something from week to week. Merrill Hodge tonight after the game, who's one of my least favorite analysts, he gets all cocky about opinions that are generally off the mark, in my opinion. But he's like, oh, yeah, you know, I didn't like what I saw today. He's like, the Patriots, if they play this way against, you know, Indy or Jacksonville, they'll be out of the playoffs or whatever. You know, not noting that Indianapolis itself struggled against the Oakland Raiders today. So, you know, it's one of those things where you're going to have a division game, division rivalry game. Eric Mangini knows what he's doing. That team played well today. When you win a game, you win a game. Everyone's like, oh, you know, Tom Brady had a bad game. Okay, he didn't have his best game. I'll give you that. But he made the plays he needed to make. The weather was terrible. You won the game. The one thing I did agree with, as far as perspectives are concerned, is I think over multiple games you can develop an analysis of a team's vulnerabilities. And so because the Patriots had not run the ball well up until today, I think there was a legitimate question of you got to be able to beat your opponents in a number of different ways. If they take one thing away from you, you got to be able to beat them in another way. So one of the questions about the Pats is, you know, can you run the ball? Today they showed that they could run the ball. So I don't think you can ask for much more than that. No, they may or may not win the Super Bowl. Who knows? But they found a way to win. They've done it 14 times in a row. No other team has done that. So how can you say, oh, you know, they show me something today. If they play like today, they're going to lose. God, that is so stupid. It just doesn't reflect, you know, how teams get up for each other in the NFL. You don't know what's going to happen. You don't know who's going to beat who. So teams can rise to the occasion. So at any rate, we don't know how the whole playoff picture is going to shake out yet. I was a little sorry to see the Dolphins win today, only because it would have been really cool to have the hype of the 0-14 going up against the 14-0 next week. But whatever, you had to be happy for that franchise. They've had a lot of suffering this year and lost a lot of close games. So guess I can't really hold against you. Hey, we got M&M Sports Talk. What's up? What's going on, man? Sorry I didn't notice you there for a sec. I was going off on my football rant. How are you doing tonight, man? You still in the chat room? Oh, yeah, he says he's doing great. So, sorry about that. I was going off on the NFL. What's on your mind tonight? Oh, you want to talk baseball? What, you want to talk Mitchell Report? Hit me. Hit me with something. For anyone else who's listening, sorry, the chat's going a little slow, but I want to give M&M Sports Talk a chance to... oh, he doesn't want to go Mitchell Report. So I don't know what else there is, my man, my M&M Sports Talk man. The Mitchell Report is where it's at this week. What else is going on with baseball? Oh, the player movement. Like Tejada and stuff. Yeah, there were a few deals and such. Although I was definitely curious about what would go on with Santana. Looks like he may be staying put for a while. Oh yeah, now we're on to the Mitchell Report. Talking about the Mitchell Report, this is just the beginning. I think that's true. Mitchell, they came up with 60 names. There's hundreds more out there. Whether they'll get them all out, who knows? It depends on who talks. Right now those names are pretty much linked to one or two criminal investigations where they got people to talk. So that yeah, the 60 names they came up with were not supposed to be comprehensive, and I think that's pretty much understood. Right, yeah, one trainer and I think one other. Actually, I think there might have been two trainers involved, but yeah, it was pretty much that one guy. He's asking me what state I'm from. I'm from Massachusetts. So I'm a Red Sox fan, and actually, the Mitchell Report was kind of good for Red Sox fans only because both the trainers involved were connected to the New York Yankee team, so it made the Yankees look like they had a ton of guys juiced up. But that was just random. That was just because those are the people that talked. Yeah, I mean, as far as the Mitchell Report is concerned, I think the big thing for me was just that I don't think you really had necessarily a clear indication of everyone named didn't have the same amount of evidence gathered against them, and who knows how it's all going to play out. If it leads to a healthy conversation about the future, I think that's what's more important than dragging people over the mud right now, but who knows. Yeah, this guy's just saying Boston sports are amazing right now for you fans. Yeah, it's weird. I mean, when I first started, following Boston sports, we were losing everything, man. So it's just weird. Everything is cyclical. Eminem, where are you from? Eminem Sports Talk. Los Angeles. Land of Kobe drama. An Angels team that seems to be getting a little more aggressive. A Dodger team that may be doing some good things. I think Torrey was a good hire. I'm not sure, well, I guess we'll find out, just what a difference he can make, but I thought that was a good hire for the Dodgers. Yeah, you guys have got a couple things going on. If Andrew Bynum can keep showing a little bit of an emerging game there, Lakers might be back. The Clips seem to be wallowing a little bit, but that's to be expected. So you a Laker guy too? Yeah, we got a. I'm a little bit of a Laker guy. When the Celts are really bad, I started getting into the Lakers, but now the Celts are good. I can't claim any allegiance to the Lakers side of things. Oh, we got a caller on the line. Let's see what we got here. All right, I'm unmuting the caller. Hello, caller. Hello.
Hello.
What's up?
Could we talk about the Mitchell report?
Oh yeah, sure. We just had someone in the chat room saying they didn't want to talk about the Mitchell report, but then we got going on it anyway. What do you got to say? What do you got to say about the Mitchell report?
Well, could I name some of the guys?
Yeah, they're out there. Go ahead.
I mean, there's a couple of guys, but the previous linked men are Manny Alexander, Rick Ankiel, David Bell, Marvin Bennard, Barry Bonds, Rookie Bonds, Paul Verdin, so on. It's like,
Yeah.
why be on steroids?
Why be on steroids? Yeah, I mean, I think you're talking about an era in baseball where I think people felt like if they weren't taking something, they might not be able to compete, And so I think it was one of those things where everyone's doing it. It was kind of, kind of an anarchy of sorts, and that was the problem, is that there was this culture that was promoted where everyone who was taking it was racking up home runs and everyone was getting in on it. But of course, it's a dangerous thing. I mean, first of all, it's totally unfair for the people that didn't want to take that stuff. And second of all, it's not good for you. I mean, hardcore steroids are not good for you. It's not something you should ever put your body through. There are certain, I mean, obviously certain people in certain health situations, steroids have, and hormones have been known to help alleviate some things, but in the long term, you don't want to put that stuff in your body. So, yeah, there's all kinds of problems with doing it, and it's really disappointing to think about, all these people who essentially went for any advantage they could. And the thing that's frustrating about this report is that none of the players talk with these people. Like, they claim they wanted to clean up the game, but no one stepped forward. So they're upset about it now. But when he was gathering all this information, he asked all these people to talk, and none of them did. And so they kind of got what they had coming to them, I think. You got someone in the room saying, "You know your stuff." What else you got to say about the Mitchell report?
Well, I mean, it's like going on a website like cheatcodes.com or something and using those cheats on a PlayStation game or something. It's like cheating.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. And I think, it's hard because it's hard to go back in time. Like, it's hard to know, how you can ever really set this right in terms of what already happened. I mean, I think the only good news is that one of the things that came out in the report that I tend to agree with is that the new drug policy in baseball has helped this situation a little bit. They do steroids are pretty reliable. The problem is that they can't test for human growth hormone. Now, human growth hormone is not as powerful as steroids in your body, but it still helps you a lot with recovery, and perhaps speed in certain situations. And there's really no test for it that's really been proven totally effective. I think there's a really difficult blood test. So they're trying to develop a urine test, but I think you got the situation where, the cheaters are always one step ahead of everyone else. So it's just one of those things. But yeah, I mean, I think as a fan, it's disillusioning. But there's a lot of fans that, they say, "Well, fans don't care." I don't know how I feel about that, 'cause like for me, I do care. Like, I want people to compete on a level playing field. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, exactly.
What team are you a fan of?
I'm a fan of the Dodgers.
Oh, you're a Dodgers guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, the other guy on the line's a Dodger fan too.
Oh, really? But
Yeah.
I'm not against the Red Sox.
What's that?
I'm not against the Red Sox.
You're not against the Red Sox.
No.
Yeah, you know what I always wonder too, and it's one of those things where you can't help but look at players too and see when they had their best numbers and see how their bodies fell apart. And like in the Sox side of things, there weren't many Sox players named, but I've always felt as a Sox fan that Nomar Garciaparra was probably a steroids guy at one point, because you can't prove it, so it's hearsay.
Yeah.
But you put up all these huge numbers, and then your skills deteriorate, and suddenly you're just an average player. You're having all these problems, and so it's just one of those things. I don't know if we'll ever totally get to the bottom of what happened there, but I do hope that the result of this is that people realize that if you mess with this stuff, you hurt the fans who really care about the game. And the thing that stinks is that everyone says, "Well, attendance is up, so no one cares." But I don't think that's true. I think it's just one of those things where you love your team for better and for worse, but you still want to see things clean. Now, I don't tell you the other thing that bothers me about baseball. It's another issue of competitive balance, where there are certain teams in baseball that can spend so much more money on players than everybody else. Like I think it was something like the top five free agents all signed with either the Sox or the Yanks, and there were only a handful of teams in the ring for some of these guys. Like with Santana, I guess maybe one or two of the LA teams might have been in it, and they haven't done the trade yet. But you kind of wish that it was more like the NFL, right, where teams had about the same amount of money to spend, and no one had like an unfair advantage in any way, whether it's getting the best players or whatever. Like, even as a Sox fan, it seems kind of silly sometimes. It's like, well, every player's choosing between our team and two other teams. That just doesn't seem right to me if I lived in Kansas City or Minnesota or whatever. So I'll ask you something about drug use. You know, I think it's interesting. Like supposedly drug. Oh, the chat says the NHL is on an even playing field. Yeah, I would agree with that. The NHL is too, but and to some degree the NBA is, though. The NBA has these unmovable player contracts, so it's kind of a problem there. But yeah, I was going to ask you about the NFL because I think what's interesting is that I think you know the NFL drug problems don't cause nearly as much controversy, but the NFL is a league that's also had a huge amount of steroid use and abuse. So I don't know. It doesn't get this doesn't get people as mad, I guess. I don't know. Maybe it's because the records aren't the same. Whereas with baseball, like the records, like for me, I don't know how old you are, but I grew up on Hank Aaron, and so you know, for me, like he was such a hero of mine, and to see a guy like Barry Bonds break the records, knowing he probably did take performance-enhancing drugs, that was hard for me to watch. So, oh, Eminem's asking me what to use for your show, Gizmo or Google. I called in from a landline. I'm actually on a landline. So yeah, do you have any other comments about that that you want to talk about?
Well, I've got two more questions for you.
Okay.
Why do you think they never stopped Barry Bonds, even though they know he was on steroids?
Okay. Well, he tested positive supposedly one time, but they have all this circumstantial evidence about Bonds, but part of the problem is that the trainer, Bonds' trainer, basically sat in a jail cell refusing to testify against him. And so the feds are still going after Barry for a perjury-related issue. And if they get a perjury conviction on Barry, that could result in some punishment from the Major League Baseball as well. But up until this point, Barry Bonds hasn't been convicted of anything. And at the time that his test came out, I don't believe that stuff was against Major League Baseball policy at the time. And so that's the problem with it, is that they have this testimony about this one time, but he claimed that he thought he was taking some flaxseed oil on his body instead. And because it wasn't against Major League Baseball policy at the time, they couldn't kick him out. Now, this perjury thing, if he does get convicted of this, then I think that would have a dramatic impact on his baseball future also. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, what happens with that. And whether that perjury conviction comes through or not. The problem is that without the personal trainer who is continues to say he won't testify against Barry, it's going to be a little bit hard to prove that he lied about those things. But it'll be interesting to see. I don't know how long that trial is going to take to play out, but I guess in the next 6 months we'll probably have a little better idea. But if they get a perjury conviction, then that will definitely result in because since the perjury had to do with whether he took steroids or not, if they get that conviction, then he'll definitely get punished, I think, by Major League Baseball too. What's your other question?
Do you think the Patriots will go all the way?
Go all the way. I was just talking about that a little bit. I think they have. I think they have as good a shot as you could hope. I mean, you could look at their team and see some weaknesses. Their defense is a little old and slow than where I'd like it to be. They got this guy, I don't know how close you follow them, but they have a linebacker, Roosevelt Colvin, who is pretty important to their linebacking core and doing a lot with pass rush and putting pressure on the quarterback, and he's out for the year now. So their defense isn't quite as good as it was. Teams have shown that if they can stop the Patriots from putting pressure on them, they can chop up their secondary a little bit. So they're not a perfect team. Like when people see the record and they talk about, oh my God, this is such an amazing team. Their offense is very, very powerful, but I think you saw, I don't know if you saw much of the game today, but in the winter weather, they can't do quite as much offensively. I think they got a good shot, but there's definitely a handful of teams that could beat them. I mean, I think it's one of those things where, you know, they're going to have home field advantage probably throughout the playoffs. I guess that may get clinched like next week. They're going to have to win 3 games, so they're going to have to beat, I would guess, either Jacksonville or Pittsburgh in the first game. I think they'll do that. Then in the championship game, they'll probably play the Colts. That'll be a great game. I think the Colts are a great team, and in some ways, I think the Colts might be better than them. To be honest with you, if Dwight Freeney hadn't been hurt for the year, I might even give the Colts a little bit of an edge in that game. But Dwight Freeney being out really hurts them, I think. So you got a great game with the Colts and the Pats there. That's what it ends up being. And then the Cowboys or whoever comes out of the NFC, I think will give the Pats a tough game. So I think they can do it. I think they have the discipline and the mental fortitude to kind of keep going and not lose a game. But they are going to face some pretty stiff competition. I don't know if you recall, like last Super Bowl where you had that amazing game between the Colts and the Pats. Then the Colts went on to play a Bears game for the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And that wasn't such a great team. I mean, you had a quarterback, Rex Grossman, who just hasn't settled into being a great quarterback in the league yet. This year, I think whoever comes out of the NFC, whether it's Dallas or probably it's going to be either Dallas or Green Bay, but I guess it might be a Tampa Bay, but whoever comes out is going to be a pretty darn good team. And the way the NFL goes, the beauty of it is that any given Sunday, somebody could win. So I would give them the odds on edge, the Patriots, to win it all, but I don't see them as a team that's so dominant where you would say, oh, they're definitely going to do that. I just don't think they're scary enough on defense that whoever plays them, if they have a good offense, they'll put up some points. And but yeah, I'll tell you what, it makes for great games, because I think in the Patriots postseason they should be some close, exciting games, and it could go either way. So that's great football as a fan to watch. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Are you a Pats fan?
No, I'm not.
What football team are you?
I like the Rams.
The Browns?
The Rams.
The Rams, St. Louis. Yeah, they've had a little bit of a tough year this year.
Yeah, they have.
I don't know. They might be pretty good in the future, though. They have, I don't know, they show signs every now and then of being a great team. And then they had a couple games this year where you thought they were getting back on track. I think they'll be back, but this isn't their year, that's for sure. Cool. Any other questions tonight?
Who do you like for hockey?
Hockey. Hockey I have not been following. Let me ask Eminem Sports Talk about hockey. He's my guy in my chat room. Eminem, are you following hockey? He said something about hockey a minute ago. Let's just see if he's still around. Hockey. He's a Kings fan. So, Eminem, give us your top four hockey teams as you see it heading, when they eventually head to the postseason. Who do you think are the top four teams this year? I used to follow the Bruins a little bit, but that franchise is doing so bad right now.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just hard to be a fan of the Bruins. I just don't like their management.
Mm-hmm.
What hockey team are you a fan of?
I'm a fan of the Avs.
Oh, you're an Avs guy?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm waiting for Eminem to give us some teams here. Top four. You know what it is with hockey is like when the spring comes around and there's no football going on, then I start paying a little attention. I love the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Yeah.
I just think it's always fun.
Yeah.
Okay, Eminem has given us Wings, Ottawa, San Jose. And one other. Waiting for one more. Wild.
Wow.
So those are your four top hockey teams, according to Eminem Sports Talk, who's hanging out in our chat room tonight. I couldn't tell you. Do you agree with that?
Well, yeah, they are good teams.
Yeah, generally, we have some agreement on the hockey side. I can't really comment much about hockey, but maybe in a couple more months when things settle down. Usually right after March Madness is when I start paying a little bit of attention to hockey and then a little bit more to the NBA also, though I am watching the Celtics just because it's really fun right now to watch the Celtics play basketball because they're playing great team basketball.
Yeah, with those three star players.
Yeah, because they're making the extra pass. It's so much fun to watch.
Yeah.
So much NBA play in recent years has been, even like with the championship team like the Heat, it was about Dwayne Wade breaking down defenses, going to the hole. And it's fun to watch, but it's really fun to watch a passing game where everyone's making the extra pass and wearing down the defense that way. So Eminem says there's nothing like NHL playoffs. He likes that time of year. Me too. When you have the baseball starting up, and you got the hockey playoffs and March Madness. It's going to be a lot of fun to look forward to down the road here, but I won't be talking too much hockey till we get around the corner there.
All right.
Thanks for calling in tonight.
Okay, thank you.
So that was caller. Bye-bye. That was caller 323. He brought a little bit of light. He brought a little bit of life to our discussion tonight. So thank you. I had a young, intelligent sports fan on the line there. That's good to see. Gives you a little bit of hope for the next generation there. Yeah, Eminem says the kid knew his stuff. Yeah, that's true. That kid, I was impressed with him. I was definitely impressed. Eminem, you got anything else you want me to comment on tonight? I've touched on pretty much everything I was going to cover. I didn't have a whole lot to say. I'm new, pretty new to Now Live. I've done about 5 of these shows, but I haven't established a regular time and format yet. So I'm kind of still experimenting with how I'm gonna do it. I kind of wanted to do some regular features each week, like kind of winners and losers of the week and different things. But I haven't got my act together yet. Oh yeah, are you on Wednesday night? Cool. I'll try to check that out. Cool. Yeah, maybe I can call in sometime. That'd be fun. I'll make a note of it. 7:30 to 9:30 Pacific time, Wednesdays. Cool. Yeah, I think I saw your promo at some point. Cool. I'll definitely come check you out at some point there. Yeah, a little bit late on the East Coast. I mean, I'm trying to do the wrap on the week every week, and this week just a lot of snow and blizzard stuff and got a little bit slowed down on the broadcast. So I did really bad in my football pool this week. Oh my God. I think every team I picked lost. I was actually doing some catch up in the pool standings as of last week. I thought I was on a roll, but I had picking against the spread is always fun, and I know I had Indy, and I don't think they covered the spread. God, just about every team I picked, they didn't cover. I think I had the Giants. I can't believe Philly beat Dallas today. Oh, my God. My football pool picks look really terrible. But what can you do? You won 7 games with the spread. Beautiful. Yeah, in our pool, we pick we only pick like six of the games we pick about 6 or 7 against the spread, and I think I was like 1 for 7 this week. It was a bad week for me. Yeah, no one expected Philly to win that game. Nobody. I give McNabb a lot of credit, though. You got the feeling that McNabb was polishing off his resume for teams that might want to check him out for next season. He definitely did a good job with it. I'm gonna pull up my football pool real quick. We'll see what I did. It wasn't pretty though. Wasn't pretty at all. Where does Santana land? I don't know. I was thinking maybe he might stay with the Twins. It seems crazy, but the Twins have been pretty particular about their asking price. The latest word is that they're talking again to the Yankees. I personally thought the Yankees gave them the best deal. I like that Phil Hughes package for Santana. Looked like a pretty good package to me. Bedard, I'm not sure about. Let me just check this out here. As long as the Yankees aren't doing their we're in, we're out kind of thing, I think the Yankees are on the inside track for Santana. I think the Sox are not going to pony up with the kind of offer Minnesota wants. I was mortified that the Sox offered a package around Ellsbury. I just think he's going to be a dominant player the next 10 years. But come on, but I just don't think that the Red Sox are going to offer enough for him. They're just in a position of strength right now. I see the Yankees doing what they need to do to get him, or else maybe Minnesota holds on to him. As far as Bedard, I guess the Orioles are feeling like potential suitors are not coming up with the asking price that the Orioles wanted. So let me just see if I can figure out from here what the main contenders were. Oh, I guess your Dodgers. Oh, yeah. You can't trade. I see you're in the chat there. You can't trade Ellsbury. That kid is a stud. Yeah, but then again, when you get a guy like Santana. Right, but, Santana had his elbow drained this year. I think Santana's going to have some great years ahead of him, but. And I would have been okay with trading a package around John Lester and Coco Crisp for him, no problem. But then you got to go sign Santana. It's not like he's under contract. Like once you trade for him, then you got to sign him to this enormous $150 million deal on top of that. That's a pretty steep asking price in my view. So, okay. So I wanted to comment a little bit about Bedard. So yeah, so I guess the Dodgers are in the front runners of that. I haven't been following that too much, huh? So you got the Dodgers and Orioles have been talking about Bedard for several weeks with outfielder Matt Kemp, reliever Jonathan Broxton, and pitching prospect Clayton Kershaw among the names discussed. Yeah, that's a lot. That's a lot of farm talent. I don't even know why the Orioles are even bothering to be so strict about what they want back for this guy. It's not like the Orioles are going to have a good team next year. They might as well just take whatever, what do they call it, whatever poo-poo platter they're offered and just go with that. Yeah, you say those kids are your future. You won't trade them. I definitely I'd respect him if he held back on that. I think it's pretty obvious just watching how the World Series unfolded and stuff that developing young talent in-house is the new way to succeed in baseball. So, it seems like every few years what it takes to succeed in a particular major sport changes, and right now it is about having the most money, but it's not about signing aging, creaky, steroid filled veterans. It's about going out and developing your farm system and mixing in young, fresh talent with some experienced veteran savvy. And you even saw that with the Yankees, where the beginning of their renewed commitment to their farm system really energized their team. So I think it's the same kind of deal with the Dodgers. They're following that same plan, mixing in the young guys with some veterans. Yep. Jones, Jeff Kent coming back, Joe Torre managing the fold there. I could see it working out for the Dodgers. Every year in baseball, there's a few teams that gel that you didn't expect, and they go pretty far. And a guy like Torre to bring them all together, it could be their year. You could see it. You could totally see it. Every year, there's a few teams like that. Maybe it'll be the Dodgers. Division has improved, yeah, definitely. I would agree with that. Yeah, Heron to the D-backs. I wasn't really expecting that, but you got to give the D-backs credit for getting in there aggressively, not living in the past so much these days. Looks like they're trying to rack up some talent. Give them credit. I thought Heron would end up with the Yankees or Sox as well. So, yeah, Webb and Heron. It's going to be a pretty good team. Anything else I want to talk about? Oh, I was just going to go through my football pool for a second, see how bad I did. I'm pretty much done. I'm going to sign off in a sec. But let's just check out this pool. Let's check out the pool carnage here. I can't believe you got almost all your picks right, Eminem. I applaud you. It wasn't an easy week for the picks. Yeah, I didn't do good this week at all. I have a weighted pick league where you pick, let's see, 7 games, and you weight them from like 1 to 9, kind of, in terms of how probable the outcome is. Well, you were 7-6. That's still pretty good percentage-wise, I think, this week. I did have Houston. I feel somewhat good about that choice, but I only weighted it 2. And I had the Jets covering the spread, but only weighted it 1. I had Pittsburgh over Jacksonville, and my thinking was that, Jacksonville has never won a big game, but Ben was a little gimped up, and Jacksonville won a big game. So I guess I'm not going to be able to use that line of thinking anymore on that one. Dallas, I had Dallas winning. I had the Giants winning. I don't know. I mean, I just thought the Redskins were a little in disarray. And so I've got Minnie winning. That'll give me another 3 points if that happens, if Minnie can beat Chicago. But that'll still be a pathetic look. Cincinnati burns me every week, and they burn me again. I had them weighted to win that game. I just got an yeah. I expected a lot more from the Giants too. The Giants just seem like a fraud. You know what I mean? Yeah, Eli Manning doesn't do it for me either. He always disappoints you right at the altar, it seems. So he's got a way of pulling out these games in the fourth quarter sometimes, but that's just a recipe for disaster. I don't see how you can take the Giants seriously, except as a team that's just going to be some punching bag in the playoffs for a better team. Yeah, I thought Washington was done too, but they had a little bit left in them, and now they're not out of the playoff hunt anymore in the NFC. That's what's weird. So this is the problem with the NFL, is you keep thinking teams are done, and they're not done, and they come back to haunt you in your picks. Like, I didn't pick the Niners game, but I definitely would have got that wrong. That wasn't in my pool picks for the week, so wow, I really did crappy. But I'm getting a little better against the spread. I'm in another pool that's not a spread pool that I did a little better in this week, I think. I think it'll come down to the Pittsburgh game, which I picked incorrectly, so I think I won't win that pool because of the Pittsburgh-Jacksonville game. I think the Jacksonville Jaguars are for real, and I thought that before. I just thought Pittsburgh at home, maybe not. Jacksonville are a tough out. Oh, are the Celtics for real? That's a good question. I think the Celtics are for real to a degree. I think they've been the beneficiaries of a pretty soft schedule. They didn't look that good when they played Orlando the first time. They've got some gut check games coming up. They're playing Detroit on the 19th, which is Wednesday. So that should be a good game. And then they're playing Orlando soon after that. But the Celtics haven't had a super tough schedule. I think they're one of the 4 or 5 best teams in the Eastern Conference, which may not be that high a compliment. So I think they'll be in the mix, but we'll just have to find out. They can definitely be, I think they can be, the Celtics can be used and abused inside a little bit, but there's not that many teams that can do that, obviously, in either conference right now, especially with Shaq looking so geriatric on the Heat, you know. But Dwight Howard definitely had his way with the Celtics. I think the Celtics match up a little better with the Pistons because the Pistons don't have that dominant inside presence, but the Magic, I think, are their worst matchup in the East. And then they haven't played San Antonio very much. But I could see Tim Duncan giving them fits. So I think yeah, the East is garbage. The Celtics and Magics are the only teams. I would buy that. I mean, I can't totally write the Pistons off, but I hear what you're saying. I think San Antonio would be a really tough matchup for this particular team. I don't think they would do that well with Houston, but I think they would handle Houston a little better. I think the Mavericks would be a fairly tough matchup for them also. So, So yeah, I don't know. And Phoenix and the Celtics are an interesting contrast in styles too. So I think the Celtics are in that upper group of teams, and they're a lot better than I thought they would be. Their role players are playing better. They're buying into a defensive scheme. I give them more credit than I expected this year, but you know, some people are kind of handing them a trip to the finals and handing them a ring, and I don't quite see that, but they're in the mix. Yeah, I agree. The lack of Ben Wallace was, they could really use Ben Wallace, the Pistons, that's for sure. Absolutely. But you know, the thing about the NBA is that it's nice to get some home field advantage in the playoffs, and you know, when you rack up a record like 20-2 early on, it gives you a little bit of a margin for error down the road. So I like the Kool-Aid the Celtics are drinking, but I really want to see them in some grudge matches. I agree with you. Those Texas teams, let's see what they can do against the Texas teams. That would really be good matchups, I think. And like I said, I think San Antonio could be a team they would really struggle against. I could be wrong, but Duncan always seems to have outplayed Garnett in those situations. So that's what I think about that. So Eminem, I think maybe we'll sign off for the night, but maybe I'll look to try to catch you on one of these Wednesday nights. I'm not sure what my schedule is this Wednesday, but maybe I can catch you and call in, and we can kind of continue to get going on the topics of the day. Yeah, I think they. Yeah, I agree with you. They get to the finals, they have a shot to get to the finals. That's for sure. Spurs. Yeah, I think the Spurs are a better team than them. The Spurs just have this machine-like championship grinded out brilliance to them. Not always pretty to watch, but they win games. All right, bro. Good to talk tonight. That was fun. I'll look for you in the middle of the week sometime, all right? Take care. Bye.
Goodbye.